Pray with me, please. Lord, this is your word that you're teaching to us, showing us what was done and how it was done, Lord. Let this be all about what you have planned for this generation and the generations to come in our future, Lord. You've not changed a thing. You are the same always. Help us to see what that means to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Well, y'all remember the cartoon Family Circus? Who doesn't remember the Family Circus? A little picture. There's always a picture, right? Well, this is a kind of old one, but it keeps coming up. I keep seeing it every now and again. Mama needs something. And it's only out the door, turn left, two doors down. How easy can that be? Pretty soon the boy comes back. It's been an hour. And he's like, I got what you wanted. It's right here. Mom's like, where have you been? And he says, well, I just went next door and I got what you wanted. And the path and the picture, a little deceiving because he's all over the neighborhood. He went and saw his friends, played ball, talked to other friends. Well, finally he gets where he wants to go. Well, I think that just kind of speaks to where we all go every now and again on our paths. Not necessarily finding the straight path, but we wander here, there, and look here, and look there. It's a very, every time I see that little cartoon, that's what I see in myself. So I'm assuming the rest of you can relate in some respects. So we're going to talk a little bit about Naaman, because he did a little wandering. He heard the message from the slave girl, from his wife. He goes to the king and he gets permission, because we're talking enemy territory. It's not someplace you want to take your prime commander and send his team into enemy territory without permission, sort of, from the king. But he sent him to the king. And the king said, what? Why, you're picking a battle with me? And the prophet interrupts the whole thing and said, send them to me. And off he goes again. Now he's sort of on the trail, gets there. Elisha doesn't even go out. He sends a messenger. So here comes another kink in the road, right? He gets his directive. But he gets upset. He's like, I could do this in my own country, in the only dark place I know in my life. But that's not what Elisha told him. Go, dip yourself in the Jordan River, specifically. Well, now it's up to his servants to get him to do what Elijah has said. Would have been great if it had been a difficult thing. He would have understood it. But such a simple thing, he just didn't get it. Well, they finally do convince him. And he is so healed. Not only is he healed in the flesh, but he is healed in his spirit. And he understands who the God of Israel is. And that helps him then to go home, taking the light with him, because now he's the light in the darkness, and he understands that even in his king's temple, that idol is not his idol, but God himself, who has done that mighty work in his body. So there's Naaman on a trail, and how that affects us as we seek things out for our own benefit in the world. So on to our 70. I love that number. There's a 7 in it. God is always talking to us, whether it's number code or anything else. There's always a message he's trying to get across to us. So are we ready to be sent? I was so excited to go out on Friday night, and I couldn't walk. That was not good. But we sent out our first pair. That was exciting. Go out, preach to all the nations. That's our directive. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What does all this mean to each one of us here in our local place in Thomaston? Today, we're going to look back at the sending of the 70. The setting, what is the timeline? Jesus is getting ready to leave the area of Galilee where he has been preaching. This is it. He won't be back there. But Israel still needs to hear. So there's places they have not been. There's towns they have not heard. So the 70 going out in pairs is to notify the towns. Your Messiah is coming. The kingdom's come near. And they have to go as quickly and efficiently as they can. Now, in this section, he doesn't really talk about the authority given. So we're going back to Matthew 10, verse 1, and then we're going to do from 5 on for just a little bit. So he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And then in 5 it says, the 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't enter into the towns of Samaria. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Remember, he was there for them first. Once they got the word, then the others would get the word. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out the demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold, any silver, copper coins, no money. Don't take those belts. No bag for the journey. No extra cloak. No extra sandals. Nothing. You go with nothing. He, even in this particular passage, tells them to leave their staff at home. So there's just a wee bit more there than in Luke 10. But as the 12 went, the 70 have also heard these instructions. Usually when he called his 12 to himself, it's because everybody was there. And there were specific people following him now that had come to believe. So onward we go. The boundaries are set for them. What they can take, what they should not take, and what they are to do. Now, the one thing I noticed is all the extra stuff that they were not supposed to take. They were going to be traveling from Galilee down toward Jericho and hitting all the towns and cities as they go along down through this valley. It was a noted place for robbers to be hiding out, waiting to see who's coming. Because they could see their money belts. They could see that pretty staff they might be carrying. They could see the extra cloak. They could see the extra sandals. That would have made them prime suspects to be open to a robbery and then lose everything and injure themselves in that process. So good thing to leave it all home. There is another reason too. What would they do if they walked into a town and they had all this stuff on them? And the people are looking at him, go, oh, well, just pass us through. They got everything they need. We won't worry about them. And nobody invites them in. And the whole objective for the 70 was to visit each town to let them know Christ is coming. So that's another aspect of that. They were also told in 10, as you heard when the scriptures were read, they were to be still on the road, quiet, not to be talking to anyone, getting distracted, because this was an urgent call to go out. And then upon arrival in the town, they were to go to a particular house and give their peace to that house. If someone was there who took it, it would be received, and they were to stay there. Even when there was no peace and it came back to them, they were not told to go to another house and find a house that had peace in it, had someone who was already believing. They were told to stay in that one place. And the message was always, I am here to tell you the kingdom of God has come near us. So all of this would lead up to them being very careful to be discerning, to be perceptive, to be wise about their circumstance, what's going on around them. So don't go to that. Don't go from house to house. They were to stay put. Remember, your labor is worth your wages. They were to rely on those who would give them comfort, give them a place to sleep, feed them, and they were to accept anything that was given to them. It's an awesome thought. Israel was supposed to do this without even thinking about it. Take care of the neighbor who has little and to feed those who need fed. But there were issues at this point. There were problems. It wasn't being followed through. People were falling through the cracks and starving. Healing the sick. Oh, wow. They're all over this. They're all over kicking out the demons. They're all over. This is what we're going to do. They'd already heard the report back from the 12. What success did they have? They were excited to do this task. Those who were against them, they were to wipe off their feet, shove the dust, shake it off, and remind them that they had heard that the kingdom of God has come near. We did not read the verses 13 through 15, but after Friday night, sending out our two, and this all kind of came together and gave me a little shiver. There were three towns specifically mentioned in these verses: Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. Now, I knew about Chorazin, and I knew about Bethsaida. These were idol-worshipping towns, pagan towns. They had all of the worship that was so not God, they already had condemned themselves. But Capernaum, this was his town. This is where his ministry based themselves. He read in their synagogue. He talked to their people. He was among them. And yet, Capernaum is in trouble. Why? I don't know. Does anybody else know why? I just want to know if y'all know why. Whoop, nobody's raising their hand. Well, I went digging to find out. Why? What did they not do? What was that sin? Her sin was apathy. Unresponsiveness. Apathy. Indifference. Lethargy. Laziness. Hard to grasp the hard truth of the word. They didn't want to take it. They didn't understand. They didn't want to understand. Unresponsiveness is a coldness, an unconcern, an unfeeling toward how serious this was for them. That kind of blew me away, because here's Jesus just right among them. I can't even imagine. Jesus tells us Capernaum is in big trouble come the judgment time. More serious trouble than Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know what happened to them. So, I'm just like, wow. And Friday night, we sent out two into Thomason. Don't fail to spread the word. We hold that light in us. Everybody in Thomason should know who Jesus is, who should know that God is the Lord of all, should know of the love that God has for us through Jesus Christ. If we don't say, and we keep it in these walls, who will know? So I sort of tacked Thomason on to the end of that because God forbid we don't go out and tell. So it kind of hit my heart. Now, I don't even live in this town, but boy, that sure did strike me. My hometown is Morris. Who do I witness to in Morris? Who am I telling? I have to shake my head because I'm not doing a great job at that right now. That's about to change. So we did have a great time Saturday night. We were able to celebrate what the two that went out did. They were able to pray with someone. They were able to meet people that they knew, which was a great thing. Things were seen and done, and chat was had, and it was all good. We came back to be able to celebrate that and to go on thinking, next time we need more people, more pairs, more time to go out and move around this town, no matter how we do it. We did talk some while they were out walking about where we find our mission field. Where are you when you're able to tell someone or encourage someone that the Lord indeed is with them and that he's walking this path along with them? And we have different places that happens in our lives. Now, I worked in a town hall. God forbid I should mention God. But more times than not, if I was reading something, I would leave the book on the desk. Not on purpose, but I'd be busy. People would come in at lunchtime and they'd interrupt and they'd see the book. And I'd be so surprised to know that someone else had already read that book or had just picked that book up and they were excited to start reading it. I was able to encourage people from that place. Nobody ever said, don't do that. We know all the talk and the chatter and the training and the everything else. Jesus wants his name out there. He wants to call people out of darkness into his light. Well, I'm pretty much not following my sermon, I can tell you that right now. It's not really a rabbit trail, but it's not the words I had on here. So they've gone out, they've done their thing, they've come back to Jesus and said, wow, we made the demons run. So how is that? That's really cool. And they were so joyful about that. But he had some words for them to say. He wanted them to know that as they were going, there was a purpose here. And Jesus was clear about that. He who hears you hears Jesus, hears him. He who rejects you who have brought that good news rejects me, Jesus. And he who rejects Jesus has rejected the Father who sent him. It clears up what towns are super duper in trouble with God as far as judgment goes. This was their chance at redemption. And these towns that refuse all that Jesus offered, let go of love, life, acceptance by the Father, restoration, redemption, salvation, right standing, righteousness with the Father himself. It was a free receive. It's always a free receive. They're in the darkness, and we have to call them to the light. It's free. All they have to do is walk it. All they have to do is say, yes, I want that light. I see it in that person. What's that person have that I don't have? I want it. The desire, sometimes I think in our addictions and the things we focus on, don't have anything to do with the addiction itself, but the lack of God within us, because he fills that spot of I got to have it. That addiction to God himself, so strong that nothing else, everything else fades away. All for the Father through Jesus Christ. The 70 are so joyful, they don't know what to do. But what does Jesus tell them about that? So, don't get all high and mighty that you are able to do that. The 12 have already done it. They've already been given that order. We're the victors. We are not beneath. Satan is not above us. We're above him. We're up there with Jesus Christ. He has given us the power and the authority to be there in that place. But the bigger issue for them is that they become submissive to Jesus. And in that, there is the fact that they have received salvation and their names are written in heaven. So they are us. We are them. We're in this generation. They were in that generation, calling people out. So this day and time carries no different a message. The question lingers. Am I ready to be sent out? I say, yes, I am. My body is going to believe it. I am walking better today, by the way. So this is a really good thing. Our objective, the love of God for all people. That work was done on the cross, and it was for every human being in existence. The gospel is the good news. Share it. It is not for us to keep. Come on Friday nights. I'm not sure what our next one is going to be, but maybe third. Where are we? Third Friday? So we'll see what our timeline's going to be, but I know Pastor will be announcing it when he gets back. The success of the 70 showed in that overthrow that it was indeed an overthrow of Satan coming. Christ had not yet walked through Hades and taken back the keys to the garden, to the correction, to the return, to the relationship that we originally had with God. But this was a sign that it was coming. Can you see Satan right now looking out there going, what are these 70 up to? I can't quite figure this all out. He really doesn't have a clear view. He really can't see it from Jesus' perspective. Christ knows what's coming, but he has not shared it with anyone. And Satan cannot read us that well to know that future. So, yes, a surprise coming down the road. They're going out in that power and authority that Christ had given to them was that sign, that prediction, that foreshadowing of Jesus' victory over death and restoration that was lost in the garden. His trip to Hades was that, I've got you now. It's mine and I'm taking it back. And he did. Our restoration, the good news that Christ died for all who will receive him. If they're not asked if they want to receive, who's going to know in the darkness? They won't know. They run from the light because they're afraid. Not so much that they just don't want the light. They just don't know how to receive the light. So don't get puffed up about Satan's overthrow, but of the assurance of our salvation and our names written in heaven, and pass it on. Call another and another and another. We can't keep the good news. It should be burning us up to go and tell the good news to our, if we keep it to ourselves, we gain nothing. for the kingdom of God. Jesus wants everyone with him forever. We carry that hope. We carry that hope. Have you ever noticed the people who are still in darkness really have no hope? Christ alone carries that hope. So if we don't share it, they don't get it. They have no hope. And I think that we can look around our friends and our neighbors and see those who really aren't carrying the light and don't have that hope in him, that love that he has for them. It's so massive. So we must pour it out. We get filled up. God has filled us up so we become that river that goes out. Let us become that river. So others will come and see that Jesus is who he says he is. And that God is our Abba Father and wants so very much to take care of each and every one of us. Amen. And let's see, let us.